Radio News for toyotamaterialhandling.com.au, Australia's first choice in forklifts.
Macquarie National News at 7, a total fire ban in place. Tops 35 degrees in the coast, 43 in the west. Good morning, I'm Beau Mitchum. Islamist militants have ambushed a bus in Kenya and executed 28 people after they couldn't recite passages from the Quran. The BBC's Peter Biles reports.
The bus was on its way to Nairobi from the town of Mandera, an important border crossing into Somalia. There are said to have been about 60 passengers on the vehicle when it was stopped by 10 gunmen. After a failed attempt by the attackers to drive away in the bus, the passengers were separated into groups of Muslims and non-Muslims. Then, according to one eyewitness, at least 28 people were ordered to lie down and were shot in the head. The police chief has called for calm and says security in Kenya will be stepped up.
A police guard has fired two shots at a prisoner as he ran away from Wollongong Hospital. The 24-year-old was taken there after complaining of stomach pain, but once he arrived, he punched the guard in the face and ran off. A member of the public helped to recapture the man. A 23-year-old is in a serious but stable condition after being stabbed in Sydney's southwest. He was in a fight with a 25-year-old at Fairfield Heights when he was knifed in the chest in the early hours this morning. The older man is being questioned by police. It appears Senator Jackie Lambie has decided to split from the Palmer United Party. Elizabeth Daniels reports.
Clive Palmer's outspoken and often controversial recruit will go it alone in the upper house. The Telegraph reports Jackie Lambie is awaiting legal advice before making a formal announcement. She says constituents in Tasmania have urged her to have a shot at it herself. As she prepares to free herself from party constraints, she maintains she'll continue to vote against all government measures until the Defence Force pay deal is bettered. Elizabeth Daniels, Macquarie National News.
Sydney's west is set to bake through another hot day with temperatures to soar into the low 40s. A sea breeze will keep the mercury down along the coast, but it'll still reach 35 degrees in the city. The conditions of firefighters on alert with crews on standby across much of the state. A man has been unable to save himself after rescuing a 5-year-old girl when their kayak tipped over in a dam near Bathurst, and a watercolour painting by a young Adolf Hitler has sold at auction for almost $200,000. Now with sport, Danielle Pogson.
The Wallabies have fallen short against a dominant Ireland 26-23 in their rugby test in Dublin. Bernard Foley and Nick Phipps helped turn around a 17-point deficit but couldn't save Australia from back-to-back losses. Former test skipper Nathan Sharp has told Fox Sports the Irish defence was too strong.
That loss tonight for Australia will hurt them. It was a game that I think, you know, with the amount of possession they had again, you would have liked to see a few more points in that second half, I'd say.
Newcastle coach Phil Stubbins is full of praise for his side's 1-1 draw with the Wanderers in the A-League. The Jets found an equaliser to a Tommy Urich opening goal to force a deadlock in Parramatta. Stubbins says they shouldn't be written off just yet.
We want to improve as a footballing team. And, you know, I think we've shown glimpses and patches of being able to play good football.
Sydney FC has maintained its clean sheet with a 2-1 defeat of Melbourne City at Amy Park. Paul Spargo takes a one-shot lead, looking for a win heading into the final round of the Australian Golf Masters in Melbourne. Australia holds an unassailable 3-1 lead against South Africa ahead of today's one-dayer in Sydney. South Sydney has suspended new NRL recruit Cody Walker indefinitely over domestic assault charges. Nico Rosberg starts from pole in today's season-ending Abu Dhabi F1 Grand Prix. Daniel Ricciardo and Sebastian Vettel have been suspended from qualifying after driving with illegal wings. And Switzerland has a 2-1 lead over France at the Davis Cup. That's sport. I'm Danielle Pogson.
This is Macquarie National News. It's 7:04.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
With a possible afternoon shower, a total fire ban is in place. Tops 35 degrees on the coast, 43 in the west. Shower or two tomorrow. Right now in the city, 20 degrees, humidity 90%. Winds from the north at 4 kilometres an hour. It's 18 degrees at Bankstown and Penrith, 16 Campbelltown, 19 Gosford, 17 Richmond, 24 degrees at Katoomba.
Stand by. Stalls are back and racing.
For the most comprehensive wrap of all the weekend's racing, don't miss Punters Postmortem. Expert analysis, the ones to follow. Punters Postmortem with TK, Dino and the Duff. Monday mornings at 9, brought to you by TAB on Sky Sports Radio.
TAB Saddle Up Sundays. Visit some of our most exciting regional destinations.
Make tracks today. It's Goulburn Cup Day. Sky Sports Radio will be there with the late mail. And there'll be a full mounting yard coverage on Sky Racing World, because it's a huge family day out. 8 action-packed races, the G-Store fashions on the field, live music and heaps for the kids. What a great Tab Saddle Up Sunday, today in Goulburn.
For more on Tab Saddle Up Sundays, visit gocountryracing.com.au.
Hi punters, James Cummings here. Home of racing.com.au, powered by the New South Wales Trainers Association, is the place to go for your carnival news. Straight from the horse trainer's mouth.
Reports from respected journalist Craig Young. Spring carnival updates, breeding news and Asian racing makes this website a must.
This carnival, check out homeofracing.com.au and stay ahead of the game.
Homeofracing.com.au.
Did you back a winner on Derby Day, John?
I didn't have to.
What do you mean, mate?
I had a 5-leg place multi with Curo at 220, He's Your Man, Bondiga, Catkins and In Cahoots, and it got up at 60s.
You are too smart for me.
Add a little value to your multi today with a few fixed odds play selections. You can have up to 5 play selections in your multi across Thoroughbreds, Harness and Greyhounds. Head to your local Tab or download the Tab app and have a crack at a fixed odds place multi today. Gamble responsibly.
Spoil your family this Christmas at Harvey Norman. Huge range of gift ideas for everyone you love. Take our Christmas payment option for 36 months interest-free. No deposit, zero interest with 36 equal monthly payments until November 2017. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed amount $490. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store or online. Something for the family or for your home. Make Christmas shopping a breeze with this great payment option available now at Harvey Norman.
Got away brilliantly indeed. They had in the field at the moment. And Bolt going brilliant. Here comes Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt storming through. He takes it again. Blake gets the silver. 9.64. Oh, he's retained his title in the most emphatic way.
Jennings has fallen from nowhere.
I have a try.
This is superhuman. This is unbelievable. The Roosters are on the brink of celebration.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sports and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Geez, I tell you what, we're all pumped up this morning, aren't we? Strong debate in the studio. We'll get to more of that a little bit later on, but we've got Wallabies defeat overnight, Island 26, Wallabies 23. We've got A-League results, Western Sydney get another point with their 1-1 draw against Newcastle. Sydney FC get all 3 points with their big win over Melbourne City 2-1. But there's cricket at the SCG today. It's going to be stinking hot in the listening area. So the question is, are you going? Would you be going if the series was still alive? Just over 14,000 people turned up down in Melbourne. It was a shocking crowd. Now, the stadium, there's all sorts of talk about Parramatta should get upgraded. What should happen to Allianz Stadium? What should happen to ANZ Stadium? We'll talk about that this morning as well. And then, who'd have thought? Grade cricket on the front page of the lift-out of today's Sunday Telegraph. We'll get to that a little bit later, and I'm sure Stewie Clark will have some strong opinion about that. But it's all based around Michael Clark having a bat next week before the first test against India. From a racing perspective, we were at the Kensington track yesterday, and I know Miracle Mal's got something to say about that. We'll speak today to Chris Lees, to Clary Connors, to Scott Asprey, and to Peter Vallandi. So it's a full program within this first hour to kick things off, to give us a nice, neat summary of what happened at Royal Randwick yesterday. Good morning to you, Ray Thomas.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Mal. Good morning, everyone. Yes, sport and controversy there. They're interesting bedfellows, aren't they? And yesterday, I know Mal wants to tee off with a driver about the Kenzo, and needless to say, probably it wasn't up to scratch for a Sydney Saturday meeting. That's the bottom line, but I know Mal wants to tee off. A couple of things out of yesterday's meeting, boys. A GNC, Clary Connors, we'll have him on the show shortly. Gee, he's just a master trainer of two-year-olds, isn't he? But that race, so much happened just prior to the start. There was incidents galore, horses tipping over backwards. It's fortunate that the three jockeys involved in those instances escaped injury, and the three horses got through relatively unscathed, thankfully. But it was a drama-charged race. The GNC then came out and gave a pretty professional display, Mal, to lead throughout and win. Denpur was a nice second, but it set the tone for the rest of the day, where you just about had to be on the fence and lean to win, except for one race where a horse by the name of Resurrect, terrific training performance by Scott Asprey, and Paris Match. They were second last and last into the straight, but as Mal will attain to, often when you get obvious track bias, jockeys tried to ride to that bias, which is fair enough, and probably overdid the tempo in that race, Mal, and it enabled a couple of horses to come from back. But also Chris Lee's a fantastic training achievement to prepare his 1,000th career winner at his home track of Newcastle yesterday, Chris. He actually trained a treble up there, but he was at Randwick for Centre de Noche's win, and I caught up with him afterwards, just asked about protectionists as well. We'll get him on shortly, which was great. And look, boys, the hot weather yesterday wasn't too bad at the Kenzo, but today it's going to be hovering around the 40 degrees in the western suburbs, Mark. The Kensington track wasn't ideal yesterday, but I'll tell you, Mel, one racetrack which always goes particularly well was Goulburn. Goulburn Cup Day today. It'll be a hot track, but a great day down there. And congratulations to the club also for introducing today the Emirates Park Guy Walter Memorial. It's fantastic stuff. So, look, you're looking for a day out. Goulburn is a great race meeting today.
Yeah, my word. And look, Ray, I am going to tee off on the Kenzo.
And you can, you're quite right.
It's not up to scratch. It's just not up to scratch. They spent an absolute fortune on it, trying to prepare a track, but it's not just not up to scratch. After the second race yesterday, Ty Aglin went in and had a talk with Ray Murray, and from all reports, the boss doesn't even want to see tracks like that. And it just... it just makes it too awkward.
Every
Ray,
jockey to a man and woman
in front.
Yeah. Every jockey to a man and woman, Mal, condemned it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, what? How do they? They've got to fix it. We need that surface, especially for Saturday meetings. You need to have a performance track.
Mal, as a jockey, you're riding, and the kickback, you could see the clogs, they were enormous. Now, if you're you're on a chasing horse, and it hits the horse or hits you in the face, that must
put you
off.
Forward.
Yep.
They're definitely not going to go.
And you couldn't make ground yesterday.
It's an absolute hindrance, and it shouldn't be allowed to get that bad.
So there's a couple of elements at play there. There's the danger issue, the safety issue that's associated with that, and then, of course, there's the what's fair for punters. Now, I guess it'd be hard, too hard at this point, but Ray, would be able to see whether there was a drop-off in turnover based on what was happening at Royal Randwick yesterday.
My colleague Christian Nicolucci and I actually did a quick check late in the afternoon. Yep. Extraordinarily,
as you would.
Yeah, extraordinarily, the turnover yesterday was better than Rose Hill last week. We didn't quite check the field sizes.
Right.
But again, it comes down to that famous brand, Randwick. I think punters will invest there. Mm. Alternatively, I think punters clued on pretty quick to just how the track was playing. For an example, a horse by the name of Skarsgård was $8 in early betting. By the time the markets opened in the afternoon, when it was an obvious leader track, he was the only leader in the race.
Because it was a leader.
He opened up. He ended up starting at $2.70 by memory.
Okay.
He actually missed the start, Mal, but was ridden aggressively to cross and lead and game over. And so punters can move the goalposts move, they adapt to it.
Right.
Yeah. They can work it out pretty quick, if it's a leaders dominated track, they suss it out pretty quick. But it shouldn't get to that stage. You know, this is like there's three or four hopes.
Well, imagine if they produced a pitch today for the ODI that was basically unplayable. You can't do that in international cricket. You can't do that in Sydney Saturday racing. Mm. Bottom line.
Suggestion, Ray, to fix it.
Well, the Kenzo was going to be
What are we going to do?
Wasn't it going to be the all-weather surface that was the equivalent to the Geelong synthetic? And
exactly. There's a theory.
So we wouldn't lose race meetings.
There's a theory. A couple of learned racing persons pulled me aside yesterday, and their theory is, Mal, I don't know if this is right.
But you have to listen to these.
Pour the water onto it. Yep. The race is best when it's damp. Now, the track actually came up a dead four yesterday. Obviously, with the hot weather, it would have been closer to a good three. I don't know if that's the answer. I've got no idea. Outside of Sir Walter Lawns in my front yard, Jimmy, I've got no idea. But
the best front lawn in Australia.
Yes.
It is the best front lawn in Australia.
And you need Shirley's number 17. You bought the wrong fertiliser.
I couldn't find it during the week. I was taking advice from Ray about my lawn out there.
Have you seen his hedge? That's beautiful.
Magnificent.
Well. Oh, it's a credit to him.
I popped into his house last week after our OB.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful, that lawn.
I paid Jimmy to pay to say that. But no, seriously.
that's a theory.
But I don't know. The theory is that the wetter it is, the better it plays. But that's not good enough either, Mal, because we're going to have hot summers and obviously and things like that. So you're not going to be able to keep pouring the water onto it. So I don't know what the answer is. And
1353-53. A solution, please. To the Kensington track, not reflected in turnover, Ray and Miracle are saying. But if it keeps getting criticised like this, then the trainers will respond by taking particular horses to meetings there.
And or not have much reduced field size.
Or the field sizes are bad enough.
That's right.
So you certainly don't want them going down that track. And
Now there is two meetings, sorry Jimmy, there is two meetings coming up in the next couple of weeks. The ATC produced a press release late last night. Those meetings are under review. I'm certain they'll be switched away from the Kenzo, and the Kenzo and an extended break over summer and hope
it'll
fix it.
It's just had an extended break,
hasn't it? Doing that, Ray, giving them extended
But they can't race on it either now. They can't race on it.
1353-53, a solution, please, to the Kensington track problems that we've been...
Great
there you go.
I'm with you.
There.
I'm with you.
0419 767 272 is the SMS number. 0419 SMS BSB. If you want to send in a tweet, we're happy to accept those. And the Twitter address is Sky. Big Sports WEND. Been doing Big Sports Breakfast during the week. Big Sports WEND. And of course, you can send an email as well. Go to the website, skysportsradio.com.au. Click on the feedback icon. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. And after the break, we'll come back with Chrissy Lees.
For all the best in racing and the latest in sport, this is Sky Sports Radio. Coming to you via Mwillimbah, 1593 AM. Barnum, 94.9 FM. Collarenebri, 97.1 FM. And Grafton, 101.5 FM.
Get into harness and help celebrate 50 years of pacing at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Gates open from 8 a.m. with full betting on the USA races. And the first local race just after 5.
Kids rides, free fairy floss, family activities and lots more at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Look, there are loads of ways for you to market your business, but why just spread the word when you can use radio to spread the love?
It's a love thing, everyone knows. It's a love thing, it's why love radio. It's a love thing.
Australians love their favourite radio station. That's why they're listening to this ad right now.
It's a love thing.
They won't skip it, swipe it, fast forward, or turn it off. Now, I said they won't turn it off.
Sorry.
Anyway.
From the news to the blues to the latest.
So discover all the new opportunities on, in and around radio.
It's a love thing.
And get the kind of results only love can bring. Search radio. It's a love thing.
It's a love thing.
Glenn Munsey here. My favourite course in Sydney is the Bankstown Golf Club at Milperra. I'm raising funds for Special Olympics, helping people with intellectual disabilities reach their personal best through sport. The AHEPA Golf Club's lending a hand too. I want you to organise a team of four for my charity golf day. Or you can sponsor a hole. Or shout your clients to 18 holes. And join me afterwards at the 19th hole. It's December 12th. Andy Pascalides has the details. Email andyp@specialolympics.com.au or call Andy P on 0467 764 598.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Coming around the turn, about to hook out three deep, followed by Billy Big Brown and Brother Wind, a gap to Ballyuno. So it's AG&C with about 250 metres to go under Hands and Heels, two lengths in front of Denpur down the outside in hot pursuit, followed by Dominus and Chloe's Comet. But it's AG&C, 100 metres to go, still leads by a length and a quarter to Denpur, who's trying hard, but AG&C is going well. And AG&C won it by a half length to Denpur, Chloe's Comet third from Dominus, a gap to Billy Big Brown.
Yeah, a GNC it was. The two-year-old filly with all the babies, with all the trouble and the mayhem that happened at the barriers by Beneteau out of Teich. She won a trial and now she's won first up. And this guy knows a thing or two, Ray.
He can about, train a two-year-old.
About two-year-olds. It's good to have Clary Connors on the program. G'day, Clary.
Morning, boys.
Congratulations on the win. First of all, from all reports, she was quiet as a mouse during the stalls. Is that how she's been in her trials and so forth? Because there's obviously a fair bit of mayhem going on there.
Yeah, well, she was. I was pretty lucky, I suppose. I was away from all the trouble, and she behaved herself, and that's her all the time.
Yeah, good morning, Clary. Congratulations. She is a very professional filly, but the longer they were in the stalls, Clary, were you getting worried at all?
Yeah, of course. That's something natural. Whether they're going to go off themselves or they're going to miss the start. Bad. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You've got a quiet filly, but after time they go to sleep in there, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but she jumped well, Clary. I know the plan wasn't to lead, but there were obviously the three scratchings at the barriers and. And she was sort of left in front. Sam Clipperton rated her well, and she won quite comfortably in the end.
Yeah, well, she's a natural runner, so I that was one of the options for Sam. I said, I'm thinking of the future with her all the time if I can. You don't want to be leading all the time because you're sitting duck then. But our third option was to lead because I said, if they can't lead her, well, you're going to lead. It's up to yourself, but you just come out the barriers without pushing the one into the yard, let her take yourself into the race.
Yep.
Clary, she's by first season sire Beneteau. Can she go all the way? Because you are one that's had a hell of a lot of success with the Golden Slipper. And when I say all the way, that's probably the race that I'm thinking about. Mm. But can she get there?
Yeah, well, I think she can, Melvin. She's got great temperament. Yep. She's got a heap of ability. Truthfully, early in the week, I was considering not even running. I galloped on Tuesday morning and blew the place down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, golly, I was in all sorts of trouble. So, because she just does so well, but she's a little fatty inside, and that's part of her makeup, I think. And I just had to do a little bit more work, a little bit of work with her on Thursday, which I wouldn't do, and a couple of blood counts to make sure I was on track and everything. And then I said, yeah, it's after Thursday afternoon, blood count, done a little bit of work, and I said, we're okay to go, and I'm happy to run the horse.
Okay, Clary, Golden Slipper then becomes the end goal for her. What does she do in the meantime? Does she have another run? Do you put her in the paddock for a little while? What's going to be the preparation?
No, she'll run in a fortnight's time. There's the same race on again.
Right.
And then she'll have a bit of a break then. She'll go home to New Haven. We'll go to New Haven. That's where she comes from, New Haven. She'll go home to New Haven for about a month, just a bit of a break. And if she can go and win her next start, and she's got a bit of prize money up then, and you sort of don't have to, when it's getting close to the slipper, you don't have to you just sort of keep bowling along nice and happy.
If she wins a second race, Clary, puts it close to 100,000. That just about gets you in most years. So
right.
That at least gets the pressure off, doesn't it?
It does. That's it. It does. You haven't got, as I say, you haven't got the pressure. So, well, I must win today, otherwise I'm not in the race, you know?
Clary, yesterday, I guess we have to ask all our guests about the track and... As it's turned out, your filly was just too good, but what was your impression of the track? And surely the club has to move these next two meetings in coming weeks away from the Kenzo.
Well, I was very lucky. I was in the first race my filly led. Like every other owner later in the day, the owners are paying money. They have these horses to go around and pay big money.
Yes.
Horses worth hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, and they pay big training fees. And the way the racing was yesterday was ridiculous. And I don't know who's... fault of this or how they're going to fix it. I'm not in that field, but it's disgusting the way they got it. Like, I had a horse in the last race and my jockey said, well, I don't know how I'm going to ride Mr. Connors, because one race they're going stupid and the next because they've got to get so much kick back and he said, I might be up in front because they walk, and he said, it's like there's no, I said, well, just go out, there's no plan. So it's not good for the owners, it's not good for the punters.
Not a good look, is it?
No. So Clary, a solution?
I don't know of a solution. I don't know, and we've got a track I got a solution, Canterbury.
Rather than
close Canterbury, whatever we do, it's the best track in Sydney, and all they're talking about is close and put night racing in. The kids in that can't take day racing. That's quite amazing. That is
an issue. Just from a stable point of view, is the GNC your best two-year-old? You got any others coming through as well, Clary?
Yeah, I've got some nice babies. A couple of singers that go very, very well. Dr. Bateman's also. And they went a long child okay and went Chinsaw. And this is probably only filly that hasn't gone Chinsaw at this stage.
Right.
I don't know what it is nowadays, young horses, and whether it's because, and it's not only me, there's not a lot of two-year-olds. The fields aren't big. If you remember, every Saturday was a two-year-old race, and during the week there was another two-year-old race. And full fields. Nowadays, they're flat getting a field at all.
Clary, is that the influence perhaps of the Northern Hemisphere stallions? They might be a little bit softer than our old colonial bred 2-year-olds from, say, 20 years ago?
I don't know what it is, Ray. Honestly, I don't know if that's that much influence on a lot of our horses. I think they're probably red. It's so valuable nowadays. I think they're red too soft.
Yeah.
Right.
Clary, how's your health?
I'm alive, mate. That's great.
I'm going good.
The baby fed me last night at a couple of drinks. I'm beautiful, mate.
That must have been hard for you, drinking out of a straw for a fortnight, Clary.
Yeah, good on you, Mel.
that wouldn't have been good, but it's great to see you up and about. Because I've got to say, I was in the enclosure that day, and it scared the living daylights out of me. It really did.
Yeah, me too.
Not only are you up and about, you're training winners as well, Clary. So everything's good. Congratulations on the win of a GNC yesterday.
We
appreciate your candid comments about the Kensington track and perhaps a solution to it. And good luck into the future.
Thanks a lot, boys. Thanks, mate.
Clary Connors there. Great to get richly experienced horseman and get his thoughts on what is a great insight about Brent Navdullah, was the jockey he was talking about in the last.
He doesn't waste words, Clary. If he's got an opinion, he'll just say it, it's black and white.
Yeah.
And you've got to listen to him because he's had, 40 odd years at the top of the game now, and he's still training so well.
And you know what? He doesn't waste words either when you come back and you ride one a bit ordinary. He can let fly, Clary. I used to see him coming and I'd think, I got to get out of here. And he wasn't easy to sidestep because he's a big boy, Clary. I couldn't get round him.
1353 is the open line number. We'll go to Warren there shortly. But a couple of SMS coming in here, gents. A solution to the Ken's Eye, two words, Richard Friedman.
I think it's changed since then, hasn't it? From Richard's company. It's a different blade of grass they put in this time. And look, I'm no expert, but it's something to do with the thickness of the grass just under the surface now, and it's not knitting properly.
But it's never anybody's fault.
Well, that's true.
Good point.
This comes in here from Herbert. Did we have these problems 20 years ago with the tracks? Who's in charge of the track? Mm. Change the people in charge. There's your first move.
That's been done a few times.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But no one seems to put their hand up and says I'm at fault.
You know what they say about that? Miracle?
What?
Success has many fathers, and failure is an orphan.
No one
wants to own it. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to Warren on the Central Coast. G'day, Warren.
Morning, boys. Look, Clary stole my thunder a bit. I rang your girl and I told her what I was going to say. But look, he's got it right. People are investing a lot of money in their horses, and the punters have got no chance because many punters put their bets on first thing in the morning.
True.
That's where the money is. Look, Clary said Canterbury. Not only Canterbury, we should be looking at Warwick Farm. No Saturday races whatsoever. Ever on the Kenzo, have a few midweeks, but to give every horse a chance, to give everybody a chance, we've got to go to Canterbury and Warwick Farm for the remaining scheduled Kensington meet. Because look at Doomben up there. They had floods during the week, 150 mil or some darn thing. They raced on Saturday. Mm. Every horse had a chance. You wouldn't have known it had a rain. We haven't had rain for nearly a fortnight. Mike Fraser said he walked the track on Thursday. He warned us yesterday morning. He said it was real iffy then.
Yeah.
You get, Ramesh on Saturday morning. He gave a different version. It's going to improve this. It's going. But Mike Fraser said on Thursday, he said, this is going to be an iffy track. And he was right. But not everybody can listen to your program Saturday mornings.
No.
People are out there working, doing that. Look, they've just got to give the Kenzo a big fat miss for 6 months, 12 months. Get it right. Mm. Just get it right. Go to those other two tracks, which gives every horse a chance.
Good on you, Warren.
Well done, Warren. The other thing too, Warren, why are you racing on a Kenzo on a Saturday, boys?
You don't agree with that at all?
No, I don't. No. It's a midweek venue.
Right.
Race on the course proper. Let people get close to the action. With the Kenzo, you're just that little bit too far away from the action.
And they can't keep spending money going down the drain on a track the size.
No, Warren,
100%
right. 100% right.
And you're exclusive during the week about the night racing at Royal Randwick.
It will be on the course proper.
Exactly. And there's a reason for that, is because it gets people closer to the action.
Yeah,
13 53 53, the open line number. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. And after this break, I think we might have Chrissy Lees.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Stu is a must for sports nuts like us. But if you missed any of today's program, log on to skysportsradio.com.au, go to radio and click on podcast to catch up with all your weekend sporting news.
Your family should be in Goulburn today. It's a TAB Saddle Up Sunday, Goulburn Cup Day, with heaps of entertainment for kids, live music, G-Stores fashions on the field, and great Goulburn racing, featuring the $100,000 Argyle Fire Services Goulburn City Cup. There's the Guy Walters Emirates Park Handicap for fillies and mares, and more TAB races sponsored by Goulburn Post, Goulburn Produce, Pertec, and the Goulburn Mulwari Council. Gates open 11 a.m. Goulburn's your race place today.
Save Our Sons are having a raffle. We're fighting DMD. It's a muscle-wasting disease, almost exclusively affecting boys. Tickets are only a dollar, and the prize is $20,000 to go towards paying off debts, rents, mortgages, credit cards, things like that. Drawn December 6, 2014. Contact Save Our Sons on 02-9554-6111 or get us online at saveoursons.org.au. Every dollar counts.
Get into harness and help celebrate 50 years of pacing at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Gates open from 8 a.m. with full betting on the USA races and the first local race just after 5.
Kids rides, free fairy floss, family activities and lots more at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Here's a thought for anyone renovating or building a new home.
Take a closer look at your design.
Visually, what do you think is the single most important purchase you'll make when building or renovating your home?
Windows and doors, of course.
You look through them every day. Make sure you don't look past them. They bring in light, airflow, and can assist with heating and cooling your home. Pretty important, I'd say. Wideline Windows and Doors have been manufacturing aluminium and timber windows and doors for over 40 years.
Make sure you take a closer look.
Showrooms in Parramatta, Tuggerah, and the brand new showroom in Broadmeadow Road, Broadmeadow.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Around the turn of the 4:25, it's centre to Noche. Tries to spring around the bend, about two lengths to Turf Hero, Cadiro, Mr. Jackman, Burbiro, then Good Job Bro and Costanetti down the outside. Mojave's trying to get through. Centre to Noche at the 200. Three lengths, Mr. Jackman, Burbiro, in Costanetti and Mojave. Centre to Noche has it stolen it. 100 metres to go. Leads by two lengths, Mojave, who's trying to eat into the lead, but it can't. Centre to Noche, a dashing win. Too good for Mojave, in Costanetti or Mr. Jackman for third.
You bet it stole it, Matty Hill. Centre de Noche, the 7-year-old gelding by Incosta de Lago out of Adama de Noche, was the winner for Chris Lees. Now, what winner number was this?
1001.
1001. Yeah. In a career that goes back just 10 years.
Just on 11. It's 11 years. It's 100 wins a year and would have a stable, I think Chris told me yesterday, of about 60. So that's remarkable feat.
Excellent feat. And he's one of our favourites here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. And he's good enough to join us again. G'day, Chris.
G'day, Jimmy.
Congratulations. And let me guess, you weren't aware of that record until Ray Thomas pointed it out to you.
Ray's pretty good with his record.
You've had to be a little bit patient with this horse.
Yeah, he has. We had him a long time ago, actually, as a young horse, and he went to Hong Kong and didn't really settle in. He'd come back and he won his first four starts for us, and he really looked a group horse, and but he's had a lot of issues and had a long time off, and he's back up at Evergreen Farm, and they've done a really good job to get him back, for me to get him back into race mode. And he's he's doing a good job this preparation.
Good morning, Chris. Congratulations, firstly, on the achievement of 1,000 wins in just over a decade, which, as I said earlier, is remarkable, and also what you've done with Senator Noshe, because when last in work, he was really hanging in badly, even when he found the rail, wasn't he, Chris? He was almost racing like a crab at times, and you were telling me yesterday that had a lot to do with his hoof problems?
Yeah, he just he was just a real angry horse last time in, and, you know, jockey's had a lot of trouble. He always... hard horse to load in the barriers, and he got a little worse last preparation, and then he was hanging in really bad, and I think he's got some issues with his feet, but we seem to be on top of them to a degree, and he's back somewhere near where he was.
Well, we know he's a brilliant beginner, Chris, and he was a little awkwardly drawn yesterday, but I guess the way the track was playing, the game plan had to be, Kobe, get out there, do your best, try and find the rail.
Yeah, well, he's always got that great gate speed and can put himself in the right spot, and as you said, he rails very well. Once he finds a fence, he's very hard to run down if he can be rated right, and didn't get a lot of pressure, and when he straightened, without doing any work, he straightened two lengths in front of him, and I think that's probably won him the race.
Fred, well done yesterday.
Thanks, Mal.
What about 2015 for you? Are you really looking forward to it?
That
horse paraded last week, Protectionist. What a magnificent horse to have in your yard, Fred. It must be so exciting for you.
Yeah, it certainly is, Mal. You know, it's an honour to be able to train a horse of his stature, so hopefully we can keep him somewhere near the level that he's come to us at.
Fred, is he a nice horse?
Mal, he's a stallion. He'll bite you, but he's got pretty good. But he's we've rode him a couple of times here at the track, and no, he's a nice horse, but, you know, he's still got to reproduce.
Is there a concern, Chris, that you could become distracted by Protectionist? If, you know, you start focusing a lot of energy on this super horse that you've got in your stable, and it might impact on the other horses?
Oh, no, I don't think so, Jimmy. But, we've got good people around, we've got good staff, and, you know, there's a lot of horses here that need your focus. There's probably some here that need more focus and protection and stuff, to be honest. That's how you got to treat them.
Sure.
And we can't forget Lucia Valentina.
Well, that's right.
She's a star, Chris. And
no, definitely not. Yeah. She had a terrific spring. Probably just found out at the 2 mile, but every other race, you know, she was ultra competitive, and you know, she should have a great autumn.
Will you try and keep the two of them apart as best you can, Chris, in autumn?
Yeah, if possible. Look, you got to play some what suits each horse best, but you would think a race like the BMW would be a good target race for Protectionist and possibly the Queen Elizabeth for the mare. So
I think you were telling me yesterday,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Chris, you want to keep the mare to a relatively light autumn through to the QEs, probably maybe 2 or 3 runs, but with Protectionist, there might only be one lead up into the BMW?
Possibly. He's still in a light type of work, even though he's out at our farm. He's a horse that's never spelled before, so I'm just trying to keep things as similar to what he's used to in Europe as we can within our type of surroundings. So see how we can just keep him in that type of frame of mind, and which may mean that he'll be very ready early to step up to a decent distance.
Chris, when you say they don't really spell overseas, I know they don't. So when you have him in light work, what do you actually do with him? Just some cantering exercise to keep the muscles loose? Or
He's actually just having about 15 minutes a day on our water walker. And then the cooler time of the morning and late in the afternoon, he goes out in the yard, but the other time he's in a box.
Okay. And sorry, just finally, Chris, overseas next year for Protectionist, is that... Has that got off the drawing board yet, so to speak, Royal Ascot?
It's been mentioned, but again, nothing's really in concrete, but I'd expect that would be more likely the year after, because he's still in that type of form.
Fred, all the questions that Ray's asking, can you send down a work program that you're going to do with horse?
I'm working today. I don't want to bother Chris after the show.
Look, a weekly report will be great. What do you need each and every day?
Sorry, Chris.
Thanks for writing Ray's article today, Chris.
No problem.
Chris, I was with the Newcastle boys last night, yesterday afternoon, actually, and Justin and Brendan Dooley and Frankie Law. And we might have backed Senator Noche. So on behalf of those boys, thank you very much. Congratulations. Well done on yesterday, and great to have you on the program this morning.
Was there plenty of high-fiving going on there?
Bit of yahooing going on, I'd have to say, Chris.
Chris, Jimmy hasn't stopped all morning talking about Senator Nosh since we walked in about 6 o'clock.
Very nice. Good on you, mate.
Good on you, boys. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Lee's there, trainer of Senator Nosh, trainer of now over 1,000 winners, 1,002 during the course
effort.
Of his
10
career.
10 years. Yeah, great effort.
Excellent effort.
Amazing. I think 11 years ago that his father Max passed away. It doesn't seem that long ago, does it?
No. So. I just want to bring it up. Sorry to bring it up. A real stalwart in the industry. Worked for Neville Begg for nearly 40 years. Frank Williams passed away last week, and he'll be very, very sadly missed.
No. George Adamonte contacted me on Friday and informed me about Wally Truscott as well. He passed away aged 93. Gee. And of course Wally Truscott was again a great stalwart in industry.
My word.
Owned Ricochet, Natsuki, Vaindara. In those old days, back in the 80s and 70s and 80s, it was always the Truscott's Toyota Welter to finish off the last at Canterbury, and he was a great supporter of racing.
What colours, right?
Green with the pink diamond, white cap?
Oh, very close. Yeah. They were green with purple diamond.
Purple diamond and a white cap. Okay, yeah. I've always pink.
There you go. Very good, though. I'm proud of you. Close.
Condolences to both families, too, on behalf of everyone here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Strike Punting sends in a tweet, if you want to send a tweet, at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. Why did they race when they knew it was no good? And a link to an article there. So this Kenzo track is... really caused some issues, gents. Where are all the brainiacs that made the loud and consistent calls to sell Canterbury a few years back? Strangely silent about Kenzo. And then another one from Davo says, let's hope this motel at Randwick won't turn out to be faulty towers like the track. Not bad, Davo.
Very good, Davo.
That's cap material, isn't it? Surely, Jimmy.
Manuel. We'll get Manuel to send out a cap to you, Davo, so let's hope that it does arrive. No, we will get a cap out to you, Davo. That's a very good one. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After the break, we'll have a chat with Scott Asprey.
The red lights are on and stalls are back and racing. Set for the Group 1 Guineas. Stand by.
You're listening to Sky Sports Radio, home of the National Racing Service, Australia's most comprehensive racing coverage.
But the three-year-old has a dazzling turn of foot today. Sprints away.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's history in the making and state pride on the line when Team New South Wales fights Team Queensland. Three-time world champion Daniel Gill battles WBA-ranked Queenslander Jared Fletcher with three titles up for grabs. New South Wales Origin captain Paul Gallen versus Queensland bad boy Anthony Watts. Three Australian titles on the line. Wednesday, December 3 at the Horden Pavilion. Gates open 5:30. Tickets from tickettech.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focused on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Garth Brooks returns with his amazing new album, Man Against Machine. Featuring the new track, People Loving People. Get into Sanity and get your copy now.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
350 out of Stivovich, leading about three horses off the rails, but the charge is coming. Barge and Charge down the outside. Pretorius, here's Resurrect and Paris Match right down the outside. It's been set up for the swoopers at the 200. Slivovitz has been grabbed by Resurrect. Paris Match is the danger. Resurrect just in front of Paris Match at the 50. Resurrect and neck Paris Match. Resurrect. Resurrect racing so well, beat Paris Match, Slivovitz. And in fourth was Barge and Charge from Tenacitas.
Well, this is the funny one. Yeah, we've been talking all day about the fact that it was impossible to come from the back to win at the Kensington track yesterday. except for race six, where Resurrected for Scott Asprey and Glenn Schofield, $8.30. Yeah. It was paying, and I think Paris Match came from...
It came together.
Last and second last on the turn. So
by that stage, but everybody wanted to lead. Everybody
right, so was
just said, we've got to go forward to lead.
Helter Skelter out the front.
And this is a fair horse, boys.
Yeah, right. So Resurrectors had now three wins on the trot, I think it is. Doing good things for Scott Asprey. The five-year-old gelding by God's Own out of Carnival Lass. And Scott has been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Scott.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Congratulations on the win. I just want to know what the thing it is you said to Glenn Schofield when the horse went out, given what had transpired in the previous five races.
We had a chat with the connections and Glenn before the race, and we agreed that there was no point changing his racing pattern just to suit the way the races were being conducted on the day. As there was no real genuine leader in the race and there was a few go-forward horses, we thought it'd be a bit of a speed battle, everyone having false intentions to lead, but... As it turned out, that's what happened, and they set it up for the back markers.
Yeah, good morning, Scott. Congratulations. Talk about horses in the zone. He's in the zone right now, isn't he, Resurrect? And
he is.
Terrific win yesterday.
He's in great form, and he seems to know where the winning post is, which is a big bonus. Mm.
You tell me during the week, Scott, that he had a very unusual injury, and he broke the pelvis, I guess, on both sides. Is that correct, Scott? Or
he did. Yeah. At the end of his first racing prep, he was found to have stress fractures in both pelvis and had a lengthy spell and given time for that to heal, and he's come back and he's reaping the rewards for the patient owners now.
Yeah, remarkable.
Scott, down the track, how far can he go, this horse, do you think?
He hasn't been tested past 1900, but we've got every hope he can get to 2400 and be like a summer cups, country cups kind of horse. But at this stage, we're just taking him through the grades and letting him progress without pushing him too far too soon.
Well, he's doing the job pretty good because it's pretty hard to get a horse to win three in a row, and you've done that, and the horse is flying.
He is, yeah. He's a genuine horse, you know. He gave everything yesterday. He was pretty tired after the race, and like his recovery was good respiratory-wise, but as I said, he put everything into that effort, and, he just tries 100%, which is a bonus.
Is he a big horse? Isn't he, Scott? And what 600
sort of kilos?
Yeah. What sort of challenges does that present to you from a training point of view?
Even though he's tipping the scales around 600 kilos, you know, he's still very athletic for his size. So the key to him to date is just to be patient with him. You know, he's 5 year old. He's relatively lightly raced, so we haven't rushed him early, and he's had time to develop and mature. And as I said, he's reaping the rewards now.
Scott, if you could give our listeners a quick update on Estonian Princess. I guess she's the stable star almost at the moment. The Resurrect is climbing that ladder pretty quickly. She ran a blinder, I thought, in the Meyer Classic at Flemington during the Cup Carnival. And I think you told me during the week, probably that Sandown track, which quite often happens, just didn't suit her going down that hill to the home turn.
Yeah, she was all out of sorts at Sandown, unfortunately. She still ran fifth, and once balanced up in the straight, really attacked the line, but the race was all over by then, so... it was a winnable race, and unfortunately it didn't go to plan, so it was disappointing in that regard. But she's back in Sydney now, and she's travelled well, and she's in great order, and she heads towards the Festival Stakes this Saturday at Rose Hill.
Terrific.
What would be handy for Ray Scott is if you send him a work program. because he's right onto this at the moment, and it makes it easier for him to write his column.
I don't want to ring these poor guys after I get off air, see? I'm just...
always a pleasure to talk, Ray.
Thanks, Scott.
Fantastic. Scott, well done yesterday. Congratulations on that. Let's hope Estonian Princess comes back no problems there as well. And if he didn't quite get all the information he requires, expect a call from Ray very shortly after this program.
Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Thanks very much, Scott.
Scott Asprey, the trainer of Resurrect, the only horse really that came from the back of the field yesterday to score a win at the Kensington track.
Which probably just proves he's an above-average horse, that horse.
Yeah, and they did go a mere miles an hour, but he's going great. And so is Paris Match, who ran second. They made their runs together, so both those horses are in great form and definitely ones to watch. Mm. Amazing, Mal, that the horse had two stress fractures on his pelvis on both sides as a young horse, and here he is now, and he's got a good future.
What did you think of the cleaner yesterday? Just getting off the...
I think he's had enough, hasn't he?
Yeah,
poor thing.
So.
He's been up a long time. He was racing in Melbourne's winter, and they probably went to the well once too often. I guess it was worth a throw at the stumps, given the horse had raced so well in the Emirates. But he was a tired horse, I thought, yesterday.
Yeah, he raced like a tired horse. A
couple of Group 1s yesterday at Ascot. The winner of the winner bottom was Magnifico.
Well said. Yeah, I struggle to say that one.
At $7.50, and the winner of the railway was Elite Bell, $6.10. And apparently, there was a great ride from William Pye.
Willie Pye. Great ride, actually.
Now, this is a good point that Master Monkey makes, the first time for everything, isn't there? Should have asked Chris Lees about Scorpio Queen's chances in the Goldman Cup today. You're right, Master Monkey. Another cup to Newcastle, maybe.
Well, she's the favourite, so it'll be very hard to beat.
Yeah, so that's going to be, over 1,600 metres, the Goldman Cup. That'll be pretty hot down there today. Ray, what sort of provisions do they have in place for the animals?
Yeah, they have... it's a great idea out at Hawkesbury, Mal. Have you seen it, that new thing with the water? Can you explain it?
I haven't
seen it in operation yet, but all the trainers I've spoken to said it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. My brother Ricky had a fair bit to do with putting all that together.
Yeah.
And got a little generator, a little motor there that in a wheelie bin they keep some ice water.
Right.
And the motor churns it over and sprays it out onto the horses. It's a fantastic...
Ray Murray said it worked fantastic on Friday, which was a hot day at Hawkesbury.
Right.
And it instantly cools the horses down.
Straight away.
I imagine the jockeys would dive in front of it too if they wanted to. And he's looking to introduce that right across the state where he can, because he said it's an ideal way. Plus, a lot of stables these days have those little sprinklers going to cool horses down. Mm. I know Hawkesbury have them. And Goulburn's...
And it's a very convenient thing. It's on like a little trolley.
So it's easy.
Manoeuvrability.
Great idea.
Fantastic.
Great idea.
It just pumps ice water onto the horse straight away and cools them down.
Well, they should probably get it down to Goulburn today.
I think there will be one at Goulburn today.
That'd be good. Yeah. Look, coming up very shortly, we're going to speak to Peter Villani. There's lots to talk about. The Kensington track and, of course, all this
strategic
plan development opportunities out there at Royal Randwick and, of course, for racing throughout the state.
On Sky Sports Radio... This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, radio's biggest and best serve of weekend sport.
Yeah, you would have read exclusively on Friday in the Daily Telegraph about the plans for Royal Randwick as broken by Ray Thomas. And to give us more insight into that, we've asked the CEO of Racing New South Wales, Peter Villandis, to come on the program. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Thanks very much for coming on the program. Before we get to the strategic plan... Can we go back to yesterday? The Kensington track has come in for widespread criticism. What is the solution to something that's, I'd imagine, very costly for Royal Randwick?
Look, we've got two track specialists, and one actually who studied turf at university, and he's been out to Randwick and had a look at the track. He's got a very detailed report for my board to consider tomorrow. There is a number of issues with the track. There's a number of problems. One of them is that the route system hasn't gone down far enough. In an ideal track, you're supposed to have at least 200 to 250 centimetres worth of routes.
Mm.
But here, unfortunately, it's only about 50 to 100. There's certain maintenance things you have to do it with the thatching, etc. So we'll certainly be talking to the ATC. As I said, I think we've got one of the best turf specialists in Australia on Racing New South Wales staff now. And we'll provide the report to the ATC and work with them and get the Kensington track right. You know, there's a lot of talk about the village green not being the right grass. You know, that's a factor, but not the total factor. You know, there's a number of issues. And as I said, there's a 10-15 page report which he's done. And I think that the problem can be fixed pretty quickly.
Peter, two questions without notice. There's two meetings coming up on the Ken Zone in the next couple of weeks. I dare say they probably should be shifted to other tracks. And should the Kenzo be used as a Saturday race venue?
Look, the Kenzo can be used as a Saturday race venue if the service was good. The track itself is conducive to competitive racing. There's no two ways about that. Unfortunately, we've had a problem with the surface. And, you know, unless you get the surface right, it can't be used. I think Ray Murray, my chairman of stewards, has been very vocal that the track hasn't been up to Saturday standard, hasn't been up to any standard. And we need to fix it and fix it quickly. So we will not jeopardise safety in any which way. So if the track isn't safe, there'll be no race meetings held on there until it can be proven to be safe. And more, just as importantly, it's proven that the punters get a fair and equal opportunity on that track.
Fair enough. Peter, late last week you released the strategic plan for, I guess, the future direction of New South Wales racing over the next 3 years. It's an exciting opportunity. I think the sport's on the the verge of, I dare say, a golden era here with huge prize money increases planned, but everything hinges on wagering taxation reform. Where is Racing New South Wales at with negotiations with the Baird government re-wagering taxation reform?
Look, we've had a number of meetings with the government. We've been working on this for 2 years. It's not a five-minute issue.
No.
And the government is well aware of the problem. They commissioned themselves two independent reports to see what Racing New South Wales was submitting was accurate. Both reports have come back and really justified Racing New South Wales's position. We had a former Secretary of the Treasury who did the report, and he says we need parity in New South Wales and we need it urgently, not in a month, not in 6 months, but we need it right now. So our arguments have been validated, and you know, how can you compete if Victoria is getting $70 million a year more than us because the government takes less of the wagering revenue? It's not really a tax in our eyes. If for every dollar that goes onto the TAB, there's 16 cents taken out or 17 cents taken out, then that's split three ways between the government, the TAB, and us. The TAB pays all the expenses out of that deduction, but the government just takes a hefty share of it. It's just like the four of us being in a partnership and Malcolm taking all the money.
That happens now.
Sounds familiar. Sounds familiar.
I was surprised that Malcolm hasn't got the royalties to the new bin with the...
So Matt is exactly what I thought, he and his brother. Yeah.
So, and you know, what because the government takes so much, it leaves us $70 million a year short. Mm. You know, our campaign actually saw the Queensland government reduce theirs immediately, giving that industry $40 or $50 million more. And it was very, you know, disillusioning yesterday when the Victorian government had just announced a further $40 or $50 million a year to the Victorian. They're already getting $70 million more, and they're going to get a lot more. You know, our government's got to move and move quickly.
Peter, I want to go to fast track to the autumn, the championships. Yep. That's where I want to go. I can't wait till next year.
But again, that needs funding, and you know, yes, the government has provided $10 million. As far as we're concerned, that $10 million is our money anyway. You know, we're generating this money. They're taking too big a share, so they've only just really given us a down payment back. Mm. But in every sport, you need a pinnacle, and I think the pinnacle for us is the championships. It's the grand final of thoroughbred racing. We're very fortunate that we own the autumn, because that's when the horses are at their best. The 3-year-olds have matured, so you've got the grand final in the Derby. You'll have the best sprinters in Australia and internationally in the TJ Smith. Again, the grand final over 1,200 metres. Then you've got the Doncaster, grand final over 1,600 metres. Mm. And I think the race that will be the next big thing in world racing, and that's the Queen Elizabeth, which is now over 2,000 metres and a grand final there. Mm. Everywhere you look, there's a grand final for thoroughbred racing, something to aspire to. It's aspirational. And every sport needs a pinnacle, and for us, it's the championships.
Peter, from a devil's advocate point of view, you're asking the government to give up millions and millions of dollars in revenue. How likely is that they need to replace it with something?
Look, we're not asking them to give up any revenue. The revenue that's generated is by us. It's our revenue. They're just taking a bigger slice of the revenue that they should. Every other state in Australia takes a much lesser a share. To give you an example, just on a fixed odds bet, in the New South Wales government takes $1.56 for every $100 bet. In Queensland, they take 13 cents. In Victoria, they take 63 cents. On a totalisator bet, if you have a bet on a trifecta or something, the government in New South Wales takes $3.22 out of every $100 bet. Mm. Yet in Queensland, they take 82 cents, and in Victoria, they take $1.20. It's just not sustainable. You either want a viable racing industry in New South Wales, or you don't. If you're going to take all the money that we generate, well, we're not going to survive. So there is no plan B. This is it. Either the government wants racing in this state, or it doesn't.
Those negotiations would be very interesting, I'd imagine. Good luck with those, Peter. I think everyone in the industry is watching very closely, and let's hope from an industry point of view that there is success for Racing New South Wales.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Thanks,
Peter Volandi's there, the CEO of Racing New South Wales. It is a massive issue for the industry, and it's very hard to compete. But the problem is that the New South Wales government has had that revenue coming in, and now it's got to give it up.
The argument could be made, and score could be made very vehemently, that by giving these tax breaks to racing actually grow the pie by increasing field sizes, increasing betting turnover, etc. So, but you've got to convince Treasury of that. That's the sticking point.
If anyone can fight it, but Peter Landis can fight it.
Yeah, I think he might have been able to.
Won a few battles over the years.
He can fire up.
couple to follow, Raymond?
Yeah, look, I like Denpur's run. I know Clary's filly's very smart, but I thought Denpur was good yesterday, making ground on a track where you probably couldn't, so follow her. And down also off the rails, I thought his run in Skarsgård's race was excellent, Mal.
Yep.
Got held up top of the straight, got out, another horse who made ground in a position on the track where you couldn't. Those two horses, definitely ones to follow.
No name on this. I suggested ages ago that the company who sorted Canterbury should be employed for the other tracks. I still stand by that. Boys, my commitments forced me to put my bets on early, and from what I can see, I did my money cold.
Yep.
That's from Gary. And then this one from Turkey. Morning, boys. Just to let you know that Fairfield are on this afternoon, celebrating 50 years of racing. Plenty of activities to do, so get out there for a great day. Yeah, it's going to be a hot day, too.
50 years at Fairfield, yeah, there you go.
Goulburn Cup winner.
Good on you, Turk.
Well, go with Scorpio Queen, I think.
Go with the favourite.
Yeah. Chrissy Lee's in form, winning everything.
So, good stuff, Ray. You've got half your articles written already.
They're all going to send him a work program. And I was at a wedding yesterday to Pat and Erin Allendorf. Congratulations, and have a very, very happy life together.
Well
see
said.
You, boys.
Well said. See you, have a great day, gentlemen.